Sometimes we view sinful behavior like dessert. It's a delicious treat when consumed in small bites. Well, that's nonsense. The Bible teaches that sinful behavior of any kind bears consequences. Plus, dabbling in sin never satisfies. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in a biographical series on Solomon. In this study, we'll observe Solomon in his senior years, and we'll examine his reflective warnings to the young. Solomon urges his readers to live wisely for God now, before it's too late. Chuck titled his message, Sound Advice from an Old Rebel.
Growing older brings all sorts of strange experiences into our lives. To begin with, for example, it seems to happen faster than any of us ever expect. About the time our face clears up, our mind gets fuzzy. I've noticed that. Another unusual factor about growing old has to do with finances. Just about the time you start earning enough money to provide your family a good living, your kids are gone and they don't need the money anymore, or at least they're not around to take it anymore. They're all gone. They've married. There's another factor, and that has to do with wisdom. Just about the time you're old enough to pass on good, wise counsel, they don't want it. They're gone. Nobody's listening. You're now a grandparent. You don't qualify. You're just supposed to love. Never give too much advice. I don't know who it was. Somebody has attributed this particular series of thoughts to a 17th century nun. If that's true, she was an awfully wise sister. Lord, thou knowest better than I know that I am growing older and will someday be very old. Keep me from getting talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject at every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me to endure them patiently. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it is possible I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Help me to extract all possible fun out of life. There are so many funny things around us, and I don't want to miss any of them. Make me thoughtful but not moody, helpful but not bossy. And with my vast store of wisdom, O Lord, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end of my life. Oh, we're thinking about a man who grew old the wrong way in this study. We have been through five lessons in the life of Solomon, and we come to the sixth one at this time. And it's perhaps the hardest of all, because here is an old man facing sure death that's just around the corner, who is turning over in his mind the thought, oh, that it might not have been. What a way to die. And I think Solomon makes his greatest contribution at the time of his death by passing on to the young wise, godly counsel that we are to heed. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11, we will begin with the last part of that chapter, and then we will turn to his diary in the book of Ecclesiastes, the last part of that diary, and we'll wind up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 10, the first several verses. Solomon's closing years were tragic years, hard to handle, hard to bear. He had the world at his doorstep, and he slammed it shut. He had a blank check written by God, and he perverted it with extravagance. He could have had anything he wanted, and he blew that by living for himself and not for others. And here he is at the end of his life, a frustrated, bitter, broken guilt-ridden man. Remember the last study we were together, Solomon experienced God's consequences. Chapter 11, verse 14, we read, "The Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon. His name was Hadad, the Edomite. And if that were not bad enough, the Lord, verse 23, raised up another adversary whose name was Rezon of Damascus. And both of these men sort of combined forces to make life miserable for Solomon. They just brought one harassing day after another in Solomon's later years. And if that wasn't bad enough, there was a third trusted servant by the name of Jeroboam who turned against Solomon and defected. And if that were not bad enough, when Solomon tried to get his hands on him to capture him, verse 40 tells us, he was unable to do it. He was a frustrated, hassled, harassed old man. We know for sure that Solomon was certainly not younger than 60, and he was probably not older than 70 at this time. Life has passed him by, and he has lived out a series of miserable years, sort of pining away these last few days in frustration. To make matters even worse, verse 43 says that Solomon slept with his fathers. That's another way of saying he died. He was buried in the city of his father David, and his son reigned in his place. Well, what about his acts? What about those great achievements? What about those times in which he set all kinds of records? Well, verse 41 tells us that the rest of the acts of Solomon and whatever he did and his wisdom, of all things, they're contained in a book that no longer endures. A book called The Acts of Solomon, one among a number of books in the Bible that are mentioned but do not live on. In other words, God chose not to preserve a book that gave us all the great acts and all the wisdom of Solomon. He let it pass into the ages. He just preserved the Song of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, and the Diary of Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes. Isn't that something? It's as if God is saying, I don't want people to read all of those achievements thinking that by doing all those great things, they're going to find happiness. I'd rather they read the truth about Solomon's life, and that is, he compromised with truth. He lived a perverted, miserable set of years and died a broken man. The book of Ecclesiastes tells the truth about Solomon, and you turn to it with me, you'll see it for yourself. Just after Proverbs, you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. In the last part of the book, chapter 11, beginning at verse 9 through chapter 12, verse 7, we have some advice that Solomon passes on. Written all across this advice is an epitaph that must have sounded like this: Don't be foolish as I was foolish. If I had it all to do over again, this is the way it would be. You see, this man, being dead, still speaks. And I find in these verses, chapter 11, verse 9 through chapter 12, verse 7, four important pieces of advice that this old rebel leaves for us to apply. Verse 9, I believe the first part of the verse is sarcastic. It's written in a sort of a satire. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Go ahead, have a ball, sow your wild oats. Let it all happen. If it feels good, let it happen. Do your own thing. Don't worry about all of those tight parameters your parents passed on to you and all the things Scripture says about living a pure life implied. That's the way I did it. Close implication. Now, verse 9 closes with some very strong words. Know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. The first piece of advice that Solomon passes on is you are accountable to God for your life. Regardless of what the world might tell you, regardless of what you might have learned in your schooling, regardless of what the neighborhood has passed on, or your former years, or your present years, listen, says Solomon, God will call you into account for the life that you live. You are accountable to Him. Take Him seriously. You are not the master of your own fate. You do not have the right to live as you please. Grace does not cover a life of sin, saying, it's all right, it doesn't matter. The God of purity and the God of holiness says, be holy as I am holy. Learn from the scars and the bruises of my life. Listen. 1 minute that is invested in sensual activity will reap a horrible harvest of hours, perhaps years, that you will regret. Some of you have had very faithful parents to pass on to you godly counsel, and you kicked over the traces as soon as you were able, only to learn the hard way that that counsel was quite wise. Gordon MacDonald, in his fine book, The Effective Father, tells the account of a friend of his who was out of the country. He was abroad at a particular time in his life. This young Christian had been alone for many days, and he was confronted with the temptation to see a pornographic movie. Curiosity and distance from home were strong, convincing factors as he wrestled with the temptation. Standing there in front of the X-rated theater, he recalled a hymn that his parents had taught him many years before. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. The reminder of those words and the truth they represented caused my friend to walk on rapidly to his hotel with a pure heart. You see, the moment of truth had occurred, and because the right patterns had been instilled through training, affection, discipline, punishment, and instruction, he was able to perform in a time of crisis. Solomon says, I wasn't pure. I wasn't holy. I plunged into one activity of the flesh after another, and I want you to know, young men and women, that when you follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, you are accountable to God. Well, what's the answer? Verse 10 is the answer. So then, remove vexation from your heart. Put away the pain that will come to your body from that kind of lifestyle, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Before you turn the page, study verse 10, the word vexation. Remember our last study? We learned that the word kindle is often related to the anger of the Lord. And we learned that the Hebrew word means to be incited to the point of vexation. The anger of the Lord is often kindled when He sees us vexing Him with our lifestyle. Verse 10 says, remove that vexation from your heart. The things that break the heart of God, that grieve the Holy Spirit who lives inside you to lead you into a life of purity. Stop those kind of activities. Turn your attention to the things that please Him. Because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Oh, age comes so fast. I want to pass on to you something that I've experienced along with my wife Cynthia when we travel from family conference to family conference. One of the most difficult things to deal with is the parent who is now consumed with guilt later on in life, looking back, wishing they had lived and reared their children another way. I'll tell you, we draw upon the promise of Joel. He is able to make up for us the years that the locust has eaten, and that does bring relief. We remind them of the hope there is in the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. But there's nothing that can reach down inside and lift the weight that was put on there years ago through compromise and sinful activities or just plain old negligence and unconcern. Solomon says, young men and women, those just married, those underway in rearing families, those making plans to marry and begin that process, learn early in life. It doesn't pay. Learn early. Whenever those seeds of the flesh are dropped, they reap a bitter harvest. You're accountable to God. Now, he continues. He says in verse 1 of chapter 12, get your priorities in life on target early. That's the principle of verse 1. Get your priorities in life on target early. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait until you're 50 and 60 and up in years to remember your Creator. Because when you do that, you'll have the anchor of 40, 50 years in the past dragging itself along behind you. And all of the horrible memories of a sin-filled life. No, says Solomon, that's my life. He leans up on the elbow of near his deathbed and he says, listen to this broken old man. It happens when you're young. That's the wise way to handle it. Make some decisions about life. Set those right priorities in the days of your youth. And look at how he says it. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Tell you, you're reading the words of a miserable, depressed father and husband. Oh, when I think of those years past, there is no delight. What does it mean to remember our Creator? Well, I put down a few thoughts that I think might help explain that. I remember the Creator when I operate on the basis of this, that God might be glorified in this thing. I remember the Creator when I view life as God views it. I remember the Creator when I make important to me what is important to God. I remember my Creator when my first and continuing motivation is to please Him. If I were single and asking God for a mate, I would be looking for a mate that would enhance my walk with God, not diminish it. If I were in the midst of employment that was difficult and hard to handle, hard to bear, I would remember my Creator in the days of my youth by saying to the Lord, teach me, keep me patient, give me hope and encouragement. Let me please you as I work in this difficult spot. If my mate had been taken from me in the days of my youth, I would say, Lord, fill the gap. Don't let me turn to foolish decisions in this time of loneliness and heartache. In other words, you remember something when you consciously call to mind and keep in mind the thing in question. Here is the Creator. I'll tell you, you will not automatically do that. It's a conscious effort. You have to say to yourself, I will now remember God's way, and I will do it regardless. And I can assure you, when you do that, you will probably stand all alone. You will not have a lot of support from a lot of other people, because that is not the popular way to live. Solomon says, popular or not, do it. Set your priorities in life right on target early rather than late. Lest you sigh, oh, I have no delight in them. You know what he thought of when he said that? He thought of that day years ago when he went into an alliance with the Pharaoh of Egypt and he had to marry the Pharaoh's daughter. We studied that in 1 Kings chapter 3. And he remembered the heartache that he brought into the family. With Pharaoh's daughter came Pharaoh's daughter's idols. And with her idols came a lifestyle. And he had to build her own place because she didn't fit in Jerusalem. And he set her up on the hill in her own home, and then there came a whole new relationship that he had to sustain. He remembered the extravagant projects that diminished the Lord. He remembered the many foreign women he finally married and got into all sorts of sensual perversions and all the toll that that took on his life. And he said, I have no delight in them. What a horrible way to die. I probably can hear some people think, as they hear these words, "Oh, I'll do all that godly living later on. Right now, I need to be free and to stretch and to sow some oats that are burning up inside of me. Now's the chance to do it. Now young manhood or young womanhood is working overtime to give me vent to those things." Solomon says, "No, wait, I got a third piece of counsel for you." Verses 2 through 6, "Age works against you, not for you." That's the counsel of these verses. And he goes into a rather lengthy list of problems connected with growing older. Says, do this priority setting while you were young, before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. What's he saying? He's saying age works against you. The older you get, the darker life will seem. When you retire, you will not find fulfillment if you have walked in this kind of lifestyle. You'll find life caving in on you. After the refreshing rain, there is to come the beautiful sun, but it doesn't come. Clouds come back, and life goes from dark to darker to darkest. And old age fears grow. Not only that, he describes old age rather vividly. Follow along, verse 3. It's the day that the watchmen of the house tremble. The watchmen of the house are the lips, and they begin to tremble when you get older. And the mighty men stoop. That's with reference to the legs and the back. As you get older, you begin to stoop. And the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. Guess what that is? Sure, you look for a good dentist because your teeth are coming out. Your grinding ones are few. When you were a kid, it was an exciting moment. Look, I lost a tooth. When you're older, you don't want anybody to know it. You keep it to yourself. You eat a lot more soup and pablum and return to those former years, and you find yourself gumming your meals rather than eating your meals because the grinding ones are few. Look further. Those who look through windows grow dim. What's that saying? Saying the eyes begin to fail. Wow, I looked at my glasses the last time and I thought, boy, if these lenses get any thicker when I look at the sun, my pupil will smoke. Man, they're really thick. And I thought to my ophthalmologist needs to help me somehow. I'm getting thicker and thicker lenses. Wow, if I wore contacts, I'd be blinking over thick edges. Man. That happens when you get older. Your eyes get smaller, look like little BBs behind those Coke bottle bottoms as you're wearing those thick glasses. It gets harder and harder because age works against you.
Well, a lot of us can relate. When we reach the senior years, our body begins to fail us. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He's presenting a message about King Solomon titled, Sound Advice from an Old Rebel. If you're thinking that Chuck's voice sounds a little bit younger today, well, you're not imagining things. This study on Solomon was originally presented decades ago, even before the launch of Insight for Living. Yes, Chuck has been teaching from God's Word for a long time. But you know, biblical truth never ages. It defies the passing fads that come and go. And here at Insight for Living, we are so grateful to have access to Bible teaching from Chuck that goes all the way back to the mid-70s. This Hallmark study on the life of Solomon concludes tomorrow. And if you've been meaning to order the 6 CDs for this study, well, now is the time to reach out. Call this number, 800-772-8888, or go online to insight.org/offer. Plus, we're pleased to offer you a brand new booklet called How to Follow a Giant. Just as Solomon stepped into the big sandals of his father David, Joshua was appointed to follow Moses. This transfer of leadership from one generation to the next has all sorts of implications. And in this brand new booklet, Chuck Swindoll presents a deeply personal message about passing the baton to the next generation of leaders. In addition to sharing biblical insights, Chuck includes some fascinating glimpses into his family of origin and how his family relationships impacted his future ministry. Again, his booklet is called How to Follow a Giant, and you're invited to request a copy right now when your request includes a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. You can write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or you can ask for it when you call us at 800-772-8888. You can also give a donation and request a booklet by going to insight.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll with Insight for Living Ministries. We have produced an audio program just for kids and their parents called Paws and Tails. It's full of fun and music, and while all of that's going on, we're teaching your kids all about the God of the Bible, the God who loves them. I promise you're going to laugh and you're going to be delighted as Paws and Tails encourages your kids to imagine God's love.
And this is Dave Carl, creator of Paws and Tales. You all know that Chuck is a master storyteller. Well, he is the inspiration for how Paws and Tales is written and produced. We are here to teach and inspire little hearts to know God and love Him, and we do it through story and a whole lot of fun. Just what you'd expect from Chuck Swindoll. Well, I'd like to invite you, the parent, to listen in with your kids. I bet you will enjoy it, and perhaps you'll learn something too about just how much God loves His children. Join us at pawsandtails.org to start your journey into the world of Paws and Tails.
I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll presents his final message in the biographical series on Solomon, tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Sound Advice from an Old Rebel, was copyrighted in 1978, 1980, 1982, 1987, 1995, 2008, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.